You're listening to the Ringside Podcast.
Sitting at ringside.
The show that brings you all that is pro wrestling, news, interviews, and opinions.
Oops, I'm breaking the fourth wall.
With Daniel Spencer.
The most electrifying man in sports entertainment.
Jeremy Wallman.
I'm the best in the world at what I do.
And Justin Kruger.
Your arms are just too short to box with God.
And now, let's ring the bell and start the show.
Welcome to the Ringside Podcast. I'm Daniel Spencer.
I'm Jeremy Wallman.
And I am JK, a real American hero.
I guess he did it.
He did it.
Again. Yes.
I did it for the people.
I'm out of here.
All right. Wow. Well, speaking of the great American hero or real American hero, today's show is about the one and only Kurt Angle.
Celebrated, hold on. Real athlete.
You can hear his music playing in the background right now. Yes, don't chant along, you suck, because, you know, we don't have to, even though it's a terms of endearment now. But, yeah, there we go. Yes.
He's awesome. Oh, it's true.
It's damn true.
It's true. The most celebrated real athlete in WWE history.
You know, what made him so special, though? What made him so special? What did he have that no one else had?
It. The three I's.
Yes.
Integrity, intensity, and incontinence.
Intelligence.
Nobody, he didn't pee on himself. Intelligence.
So, no, you know what? I am so glad that Kurt Angle's back in the WWE. That's where he belongs. You know, I mean, I know he had kind of a longer career in TNA and kind of had some really good matches there and had probably I'm going to say his best, because it all depends on his opponents too, but he had some, and his some quality work there, really good work there. But he also had a very bad addiction and very, you know, documented stuff there. We'll get to that. But, you know, it's for sure a great episode, a great guy to be back at the WWE home, and I think it's where he belongs. And I'm excited to see what how many more matches he has left.
Absolutely. And here's something that I've been doing some research for this episode, and these are the top 10 plus one Kurt Angle matches of all time. Our three that we had picked to speak on tonight are 1, 2, and 3, so I won't go over them. But we'll just say a little bit about each one if you want to. The honorable, the plus one was Kurt Angle versus Shane McMahon at King of the Ring 2001, where he put him through the glass.
That's one of my top three of his matches.
The one where Shane McMahon nearly died.
Right.
And you know what's crazy about that match is that when he threw Shane into the glass, the first one didn't break. It was supposed to.
Right.
And Shane broke his neck, and he's like, "Do it again." He goes, "What? No, do it again." And so he threw him again, and Shane, you know, I know you don't like Shane, Jeremy, but you got to give Shane. What?
Who do you even know who I am? This is like the fourth episode in a row you've told me that I've liked or disliked somebody that's the complete opposite. I love Shane O'Mac.
Okay. Well, Shane O'Mac has great matches and has done great stuff for who he is.
Right. Absolutely. Yeah. Number 10 was Kurt Angle versus AJ Styles at Hard Justice 2008. Number 9 was Kurt Angle versus Eddie Guerrero at WrestleMania 20.
That's a good one.
Number 8 was Kurt Angle and Chris Benoit versus Rey Mysterio and Edge, No Mercy 2002.
That's a good one.
Number 7 was Jeff Jarrett versus Kurt Angle, Lockdown 2011. It was an interesting one,
yeah,
considering the circumstances. Number 6, Kurt Angle versus Samoa Joe, Turning Point 2006. Number 5, Kurt Angle versus The Undertaker, No Way Out 2006.
Yeah, that's a good one.
And then number 4, Kurt Angle versus Steve Austin, SummerSlam 2001.
I forgot about that one.
All right. So that's the. And then 3, 2, and 1, we'll get to here in a minute.
We'll get to in a little bit.
That is what we call a tease.
A tease. You know, real quick, though, I want to give a shout-out to all of the listeners out there. Thank you for your support, for checking us out, all of our archive episodes and everything, especially all our new subscribers here recently over the last few months has went back and downloaded other shows and stuff, too.
Thanks to Uncle Kenny. Thank you, Uncle Kenny.
Yeah, Uncle Kenny's hooked us up. You know, throughout the show, we've done a lot of different topics where we've done you heard the tag teams, the finishers, worst storylines, things like that. So we decided, we've always talked about doing a wrestler. We actually believe one of our wrestlers we were going to pick was somebody different. And for some reason, we all just kind of felt like Kurt Angle needed to be the first one we picked to do a show topic about. So, one of the things you will not hear us talk about is the current storyline right now with Kurt Angle, even though it is going on at this current moment. As we record this right now, we don't know the outcome of the yet. We have rumors and innuendo, and we kind of have our own opinions of what it's going to be done. But you all know what it is right now, and as this is airing live, live to tape, I guess, released, you already know what's going on. But as we're recording it, we have no idea, so you won't hear us talk about it. We may give our predictions later on at the end of the show, what we think, just to see if we were right or not, but that's it. So just wanted to throw that out there. So let's talk about Kurt Angle's career. First off, big shout out, big plug to the 24 special that aired a few weeks ago of Kurt Angle's homecoming.
It was awesome.
It was. Did you see it, JK?
It was everything I expected it to be.
Yeah, it was probably the best. I mean, I don't know. The 24 specials have been pretty good. It's hard to say if this was the best one because the first ever one on WrestleMania, was it New Orleans? Yeah, the first one was on New Orleans was good.
The Daniel Bryan one.
The Daniel Bryan was good.
Both of them, because didn't they do one on his road to WrestleMania, and then they just did one on Daniel Bryan separately?
One on his career profile, and then they did one when he retired.
Okay, that's what I'm thinking of. So both of those were fantastic,
right? And then the Booker T's was okay. It was decent. And then the Monday after WrestleMania special,
those have been good.
So the Finn Balor one was great too.
That one was awesome. And like I said earlier, the women's revolution was great.
Revolution was good. I feel like they did another. Did they do another pay per view one? Did they do like a SummerSlam one?
They did multiple. They did NXT Brooklyn.
NXT Brooklyn. Okay, yeah, that was the one. That was great too. Oh, the Brooklyn. That was the first Brooklyn. Yeah, that was.
And they've done a couple of Monday after WrestleMania ones.
But I just feel like the summary of the Kurt Angle one was just on different levels. I don't know. It really went through the pain of Kurt Angle. It made you feel the pain of what he went through. Now, I read his book, his autobiography that came out, WWF at the time, put out back in like 2002 or whatever it was. I read that book, and that was a great story about his childhood. So I knew a lot of his history about his dad and his dad passing away working at the on the site and all that. So I knew all that history and his training to be Olympic. I mean, I kind of all knew. So long that I was reminiscing and going back. But man, from what happened to that level on, I mean, that was something that we didn't know about. We heard little things, and we of course knew about his drug problems and stuff later. We heard about, but it all come through. But I didn't realize how many broken necks the guy had.
I didn't either. I had no idea.
Oh yeah, did you get a chance to read the Reddit AMA he did before his Hall of Fame induction? I've read a ton of AMAs on Reddit's Squared Circle site. Angle's was by far like the most candid, the most open, honest dialogue I think I ever read, other than probably Jim Cornette's. But I mean, it seems like Kurt Angle is the type of dude that is genuine when he speaks about his hardships, his career in the business, his road from being one of the most celebrated amateur wrestlers in the U.S. to one of the biggest names in all of pro wrestling. Not just the WWE.
Yeah. He's by far, he's truly an Olympic gold medalist. I mean, it's not a gimmick. I mean, it really is. He did that. I mean, of course, you have to be, if you're a wrestling fan and you don't know anything about it, you have to be living under a rock. Not Dwayne Johnson either, to know that he was an Olympic gold medalist. But he has a huge amateur wrestling career. He didn't even really... wasn't even into wrestling. I didn't realize. Now I think I remember this from his book a little bit, but I kind of forgot about it. I remember WWF Vince McMahon offered him a 10-year contract deal right away before he even wrestled, and he turned it down because he was like, I don't know.
Well, you know, he was also courted by ECW. He was actually in the building in the ECW arena.
Right.
And Paul, he was about ready to sign, but you know what happened that day?
Yep.
That caused him to turn it down?
Sandman got
crucified.
Yep. And then that caused him being, you know, a very religious guy. He caused him to be kind of, nah, this is sacrilegious. I'm out of here. You know, and didn't do that, which is kind of funny that, you know, he's became real close with Paul Heyman now, at least years later. But he came in, he trained, you know, in wrestling. He trained with, you know, Prince Albert, or better known now as Matt Bloom. He trained with him, Edge, Sean, I forgot his last name, but Val Venus, but Sean Morley, I think is his name.
Sean Morley.
Christian, of course, Jay Russo, and then somebody else, I can't remember. He somebody else that became a well-known person, big star he trained with. But he made his WWF debut in October of 98, he came out and did different October 98, he did the developmental scene because he made his debut later, I guess, officially.
Yeah, it was in Pittsburgh, and Tiger Ali Singh, he had a program with him when he first, you know,
right.
Anti-American
he
hero.
He came out and did that, but he also left,
right.
Like, disappeared for a while. It was just like he was there.
Yeah, didn't he go back to developmental for?
Yeah, he did.
Okay.
Yeah, he did. I think it was Power Pro Wrestling. It's where he was in Memphis, in Developmentary Memphis, Tennessee, which I think later, which was a form after USWA went away. He made his debut in Survivor Series in Detroit, defeating Sean Stasiak. He pretty much went on a whole winning streak. Do you remember when he lost? Do you know who the first person to beat him was?
Taz, right.
Taz, you know when it was?
Royal Rumble, right?
Yeah.
In Madison Square Garden.
Yep.
Can't see me.
Was that 2000 Royal Rumble?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
Real quick, since we're on the topic of it, we left out two WWE 24s, Seth Rollins, Rebuild, Reclaim.
Yes, that was a good one, too.
And oddly enough, Roman Reigns, Never Forget. We forgot. Or Never Alone. We forgot anyway. Because
I probably didn't even watch it.
I didn't either.
Actually, no, I do remember though. That was
I know, I did too.
WrestleMania 20,
I hated it.
WrestleMania 31.
I hated that I watched it. I didn't hate it. I've not hated any of them.
No, I actually not. I mean, they're all been pretty good. Some are better than the others, and I think this one, Kurt Angle one, is really good. He did this whole. But one thing about it is, it's kind of funny. He didn't think he should be a heel. He thought he should be a babyface.
Right.
But Vince, knowing Vince, man, he knows his stuff. He said, "Nope, you're going to be hated. You got to talk this way, act this way. You're going to be hated." So he did, and sure enough, he was over
money.
As a heel. Yes, he was. And
money.
And you know what? I've heard a lot of people talk about this, from Shawn Michaels to Stone Cold Steve Austin, The Rock, Mick Foley, Edge and Christian. I mean, you name the top guys in the industry have said that Kurt Angle was the person who caught on to the business the quickest, of not being a wrestling fan, not growing up in it, knowing anything about it. So quick, because even guys in his era, you know, your Dan Severns that came in, your all these Steve Blackman, all these other people that came in that had this background like he did, this amateur wrestling, they didn't catch on as quickly, and they wasn't as talented as Kurt Angle was. Kurt Angle was so talented, and he had a personality he was a comedy genius. I mean, his comedic timing was just, it still is to this day, just amazing. And you didn't see. I feel like you didn't see his comedic side in TNA as much. It was more of an intense guy there, where I like the intense Kurt Angle, but that comedy stuff is just comedy and intense at the same time is stuff you can't get by very very few many people, and so it's pretty good. He won the Intercontinental title and the Intercontinental the European Championship at the time, and the Intercontinental Championship. He had them both. He carried them both at the same time. He basically won the King of the Ring in 2000, King of the Ring, which was, you know, at that time the King of the Ring was always kind of pushing you to the next level. He was involved in the whole alliance angle that WC, when they bought WCW and they brought in ECW and all that. He was a big part of that, being on the alliance side of things. So pretty amazing, pretty good career, a lot of good matches. He broke his neck a few times that year, and that caused him to kind of get on painkillers and then eventually leave the WWE and go to TNA, where he had a luxurious career there too as well. And that call also caused his divorce with his wife, who ended up who now is married to Jeff Jarrett, and he get remarried and had other kids. So he's definitely happy in his life and where he's at now, plus back in the WWE Hall of Fame. So what we're gonna do when we talk about Kurt Angle. This is gonna be kind of a shorter episode too. We're not gonna do a lot of our segments and whatnot. So what I would like to do is let's talk about let's each mention a match, our favorite Kurt Angle match, and then we'll also talk about our favorite Kurt Angle moments. That's not our feuds or something like that. We'll kind of break down a little bit some stuff. So Jeremy, let's let you go first. What is your favorite Kurt Angle match?
Well, my favorite Kurt Angle match actually aired on network television. It was a September 2003 episode of SmackDown. It was Kurt Angle versus Brock Lesnar in an Iron Man match.
I remember that one.
It was it led to their SummerSlam match, mm-hmm, that Angle won, but I think Brock went over in the first match, if I remember correctly, and then Angle won the second one. But it was one of the first Iron Man matches that I remember happening, and I just remember being so fascinated by that. Not the first, but one of the first, and I just remember being fascinated by that format. Even not to take the spotlight off of Kurt, but even the other night, the tag team Iron Man match, I loved it. Sasha and Bayley from TakeOver loved it. So those kind of it was really like one of the first matches that I seen that really drew me to that type of match. And
don't forget that Kurt Angle also did one with Shawn Michaels, right, on Raw, but it was, right, only 30 minutes and they tied.
Well, the article, as I said, I did some research. It says that not only is this one of Kurt Angle's top three best matches, but it is highly regarded as the greatest match in WWE SmackDown history. The WWE Championship changed hands that night. And it goes on to say stuff like this is what made the Thursday Night SmackDown the A-show during its 2002-2003 year. And it also marked one of the last major one-on-one matches between the two men who spent most of 2003 feuding. So that was mine. I love that match. Do you want me to go ahead and tell you one of my favorite moments too, or do you want to do that?
No, we'll
at the
come
end?
Back. We'll come back.
Okay, we'll boomerang to that.
All right. I'll go with my favorite match next. Mine happened in 2003, and I have a feeling. I mean, I like your match, and I like. I have a feeling that I'm going to like JK's match too as well. But my favorite match is versus Benoit in the Royal Rumble 2003. I mean, I really like the feud, but we'll talk about that later. This match was just by far. I mean, we don't get to talk about Chris Benoit matches a lot, just because of the circumstances of his career or his life. But these guys were hard hitting, the very crafty in the ring, just phenomenal, and you knew because of their feud and other little matches they had and little segments and things, you knew it was going to be, lack of a better term, balls to the wall. You knew it was going to be phenomenal. You knew it was going to be awesome, great, wonderful, brilliant, whatever. I'm just trying to think
something different than phenomenal.
Yeah, literally though, like this was just on. I mean, it was just on fire. It was just, I mean, it was the best match of the night. I mean, I love the Royal Rumble, and I'm always into the Royal Rumble, the Royal Rumble match itself. But there's just things they did in this match. It was just unbelievable. It was really great. And you should definitely go back and watch it. I mean, of course, it's on YouTube. It's on the WWE Network. You probably can't. If I have to type in Chris Benoit, just go to Royal Rumble 2003. If I have to type in Kurt Angle, not Chris Benoit, just go to WWE or Royal Rumble 2003, and you'll be able to find it that way. But it's because if you type in Kurt Angle versus Chris Benoit, it will not come up. But it's just, it's just an amazing match. It just shows you how good those guys were. One of them were, and one of them is. It's just a great match. All the young guys can learn from that for sure. How to how to work a match and keep the fans on the edge of their seat.
Yeah, to me, it was like one of the first times that they tried to see. And of course, you can have your guys like Kurt Angle, who are your star makers, no pun intended. And all copyright and proceeds go to Kenny Bolin for that using that moniker. But this was in the WWE. This was Chris Benoit's tryout. This was to see how the crowd reacted to him. Mainstream,
and this was after your match, so
right?
It's like it was later, so it was like he was building up these great matches during this time. Kurt Angle was, and it was just showing how good he really, really was. You know, another thing that I know it's a side note, but you know, Kurt Angle is actually deaf in one of his ears, and I remember that from reading, if it was his book or if it was reading The Rock's book. But he used to have special headphones when he went and did commentary. And then when he would like call matches or he liked to call matches because he was being deaf. But when he let somebody else do it, they made sure he had to speak. I think it was his right ear. And so sometimes The Rock would call a spot in the other ear and he didn't know what he was saying. And he would have to go over and say, listen, you deaf son of a. You know. That was pretty funny.
So kind of like me and JK on a normal day.
Yeah, I guess so. Okay. Yeah.
I think that's one thing Kurt Angle did in a lot of his feuds is he managed to elevate damn near everybody that he feuded with, even certified main eventers. I mean, you look at the guys he elevated alone. Benoit is certainly one of them, even dating back to their match in their feud in 2001.
Right.
Rey Mysterio and Edge, two more guys that benefited from feuding with him. Even Eddie Guerrero when he was at the height of his world title run back in 2004, I believe.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it was amazing how long of a... I almost wish he never would have left WWE and just see... And even though he went to TNA and had a career there, I just always wanted to... I wish he would have had things on track because I would have loved to see him work with people that, you know...
Oh man, could you have imagined a Kurt Angle CM Punk feud?
I know, I'm just thinking of that right now. Just oh my gosh, what a feud and matches those would have been.
Oh, it would have been awesome. Yeah.
Man, you know, I'm gonna ask you name somebody which I think you kind of did something similar, a Kurt Angle that you would have loved to seen him wrestle against that he never could, and we'll come up with that. I'll just kind of think about it now. We'll
okay. Bring it up.
JK, what's your match?
Everybody knows what match I'm going to talk about. I'll even go on record as to say this is the greatest WrestleMania match of all time. It's Kurt Angle versus Shawn Michaels, WrestleMania 21. This match, oh my goodness. I remember I was 12, 13 years old when they started feuding. And I thought to myself, with how much they've built into this program, they started at the Royal Rumble. They brought back, I think, Marty Jannetty, and Kurt Angle just beat the tar out of him. And then they even brought back Sherry, I believe.
Yeah.
Yeah, they brought back Sherry.
Sensational Sherry.
Yeah. By the way, God bless the Sensational Sherry. But they brought those two back, and Angle came out in that match looking red hot, like he was about to bust Shawn Michaels' ass up and down the Staples Center. That match was slow at the beginning, but you had a lot of good psychology with Shawn Michaels, who had a naturally showsman-like gimmick, trying to out-wrestle, out-maneuver Kurt Angle with mat wrestling. You had a lot of high spots with Kurt Angle trying to Shawn Michaels off the ring apron through a table. You had Kurt Angle even busted out two angle slams, one into the turnbuckle and then one off the top.
Yep.
Just, oh my goodness. Now, if there's one thing I could have changed, it may have been the finish. But even then, I still think the finish was fine with Michaels desperately trying not to tap out, but he's forced to give up. And it shows you what happens when you put two guys who just know how to move fluidly in the ring together. The fact that these two did it the first time ever is nothing short of incredible. Because, I mean, even Cena Punk had a few one-on-ones before they had the Money in the Bank match. Same with Ricky Steamboat and Randy Savage. These two, as far as I know, this was the first time they ever had a one-on-one match. And they just blew the doors off of that card.
Yeah, I mean, it's a great match. I don't I mean, I personally don't think it's the greatest WrestleMania match of all time, because I think Shawn Michaels has a better one than that, but it definitely is in the top five, no doubt. I mean, it's up there with Macho Man and Steamboat, and I mean, it's up there. I mean, it's good stuff. Taker Taker and Shawn's my favorite, the first one.
Right.
Taker and Triple H, it's up there with it's a great match.
It is. It's definitely one of the top of all time.
Yeah, Bret and Shawn is another one that's up there in the top two. But yeah, I remember watching it and just thinking, I just couldn't wait for it, because the feud was just so good. You know, I mean, almost at that time anyways, I mean, Michaels has proven that anything he touches is almost gold. I mean, right. When it comes to feuds and angles, and especially when he was in his right mind and everything, and he's just a great worker. And then you get, when you get him on someone as caliber as on the same level as Shawn, you know, I mean, people have said that Kurt Angle, some believe that he's one of the greatest of all time. You know, I think that he's definitely one of those. He's, in my opinion, you know, maybe with something we're going to talk about in a minute, but you know, he's one of the top five greatest. He literally is. He's just unbelievably talented and just amazing at what he can do, what he's done, and what he probably will continue to do in the future for some certain, you know, different matches or whatever. But yeah, this match has two of the greatest wrestlers out there, and you know, right? There's a few things that just it's not my favorite, just because of my personal thing. It's the best, but it's definitely right there. So I you know, it's right there. So I know I keep saying the same thing, but yeah, it's a good.
Yeah, you are.
One thing about Kurt Angle is that we talked about before. He always had these great moments and funny comic timing, things like that. So what do you think, Jeremy? You said you were going to say it earlier. What do you think, moment wise? And I mean moments like TV thing, or even could be a moment in the match. What do you think is your favorite Kurt Angle moment?
It's a tie between one that we spoke of earlier, which was the Shane spot against the Titantron. And then as far as comedy wise, him driving the milk truck towards the ring.
Yeah.
That was awesome.
Which was like a play on to where Stone Cold did the beer truck.
Yeah. Man, JR made that segment into $1 million as goofy as that was.
Right.
I mean, you heard him say something like Stephanie McMahon turned from the $1 billion princess to the Dairy Queen.
Yeah.
Good Lord. I don't know if he wrote it beforehand or if he came up with it in the spur of the moment, but regardless.
No, those are all. One thing about Jim Ross, he was on Steve Austin's podcast a couple weeks ago. One thing about Jim Ross is that he says this. He didn't know. He only wanted to know very, very little things of what's about to happen. He wanted everything that he wanted all to happen organically. He still to this day is like that. He don't want to know anything in advance. He don't even want to know who wins in advance. He wants it all to be organically and let him know so he can say accordingly. So that was probably spur of the moment right there comment, you know, for sure.
Wait, they know who wins before?
Some do, yeah. Sometimes the referees don't even know. Or knows, and sometimes they don't. Sometimes the wrestlers don't even know. Like, supposedly Andre the Giant didn't even know until, and Hulk Hogan didn't even know until they go out to do the match.
Right.
Yeah, right.
Right.
Sorry, I love Hogan, but that's an untrue
statement. Remember when he slammed the 500-ton Andre the Giant in front of 22 billion people at the Astro Mega Giant Dome?
At the Silver Dome, at the Superdome?
Superdome. I've actually got half of Hulk Hogan's shirt in a frame up in my bedroom from when I was a kid. Came to Freedom Hall. He wrestled the Iron Sheik, tore his shirt off, threw it into the crowd. I grabbed the whole shirt, and my mom, I'm like 7 years old. I'm a little dude, little brother. And my mom grabs the shirt from me and puts it underneath her shirt. So she thinks people aren't going to try to, you know, they were trying to snatch it from me. They're trying to go up her shirt and everything. Finally, my dad's like, No, he clears the situation out. And the nice person that my mom is, she cuts the shirt in half and gives out little pieces to the other kids that were around.
Oh, cool.
So I actually
I've never seen this shirt.
You haven't?
No.
I'll have to find it sometime. It's up in my room somewhere.
All right, cool. Oh, what's your moment, JK?
Well, for once, Jeremy stole what I was going to say.
Yes!
The day has finally come.
Mic drop. I'm signing it.
But I got one, just in case.
Yeah.
I believe it was the steel cage match against Chris Benoit on Raw, uh-huh. where I believe it was the first time he ever done this. He did a moonsault off the top of the cage and just splat! Dropped right on his chest.
Didn't he have, by the way, still has, if you've seen it even recently, like the most perfect moonsault?
Yes.
There's not even close. There's no one better. It's perfectly like, I mean, he goes, he spins, I mean, I can't even describe it. It's so perfect. It literally is. It's just watch it. Just go Google it.
You know, somebody else that has a pretty good moonsault?
Who's that?
Charlotte.
It's not Kurt Angle perfect.
No, it's not Kurt Angle perfect. But it's up there.
Right. But Kurt Angle's was just, he goes straight back. It was crazy. Is that me broke a neck? You would think he would want to turn his head or whatever. He doesn't turn his head sideways. He doesn't turn his body. He goes straight back perfect. I can't think of anyone who does it better.
It was true poetry in motion. That wasn't a reference to the broken hearties. I was just saying that it's beautiful.
It's even crazier considering in kayfabe, this guy is supposed to be just a world beater of a mat wrestler, and he's busting out moves that guys like Jushin Liger and Rob Van Dam do.
Right.
It just blows your mind like how versatile Kurt Angle can be, not just in the ring but as a whole.
Right. Absolutely. My favorite moments, and same moments because it's kind of tied together with the whole angle with or the whole thing with Steve Austin when they were in the alliance together, and they were teamed up with, and all the whole like you know where they're playing, you know, Steve Austin's playing the guitar and he's like doing the little
kumbaya,
ukulele, yeah, and then you hear the little cowboy hats and stuff. Jesus. Oh man, this is just great.
Yippee ki yay,
yeah. Yeah, it's good stuff. I mean, the other moment I like too is when Edge is giving him the
the cards. Yeah, that was great.
You know, anytime him and Edge had some good stuff together. So, even when Edge and Christian when they came out and did the they did the hillbilly thing here in Kentucky, and he was like dressed up in the straw.
That was the Freedom Hall.
Weren't they dressed up as Elvis impersonators?
That was in Memphis, I think.
That was the next week, I think, in Memphis.
Yeah. Oh, that's right. That's where they got like the little fake dentures or whatever, and they were just mocking the
Howdy, y'all.
And they had straw hats, and they're playing like a little
banjo.
Yeah. I mean, that was good stuff. But yeah, it's just Kurt Angle's always had those comic timings, as we said. I mean, even when he came back as Raw General Manager, the first night he had a great thing with Enzo and Cass. Remember that? He was like, "What? How you? What?" And he said, "Like that's how you spell soft." And that whole little deal. I mean, that was great. It was hilarious.
I believe he did something with Lana and Rusev too, where Rusev was begging for a match. And Lana was cursing out Kurt Angle in Russian or something like that. And Kurt Angle is like, "Yeah, you too," or something like that.
This is good stuff, man. Oh, it's funny. It's good. I like. I'm so glad when his Hall of Fame speech. Y'all remember that when he this recently? I love how he kind of played homage to going back and playing homage to and all the little stuff that he did. All throughout his career, and I mean that was kind of what it was for. It was all WWE stuff, but he talked about, you know, that the moments we're talking about there. He also did the milk. He brought, you know, the milk stuff. He did the Shawn Michaels, you know, where he redid the music.
I'm just a sexy Kurt.
Yeah, that's pretty good stuff.
That was with Sensational Sherry, nonetheless.
It was. Yeah, it was. Who originally did the first Shawn Michaels theme song with him? Yeah,
HBK.
So,
Honorable mention too to when he had the rap battle with John Cena and
ethered him. Killed it. Yes. He killed it.
Yes, it was good stuff. Good stuff for sure. Now you know, spoiler alert, you know John Cena actually wrote both of those promos. He wrote his and
here we go again.
Just
this was supposed to be an episode about Kurt Angle.
Well, speaking of Kurt Angle and John Cena, John Cena's first ever match officially in WWE was against Kurt Angle, and it was a great match.
It was a disappointing finish.
That's what you said.
Oh, God.
All right, so I said it low. So.
I came for Kurt Angle, and I stay disappointed.
One of the things about Kurt Angle, too, is that I, you know, always a personal note to me that I always have and is always going to be near and dear to my heart is one of my good friends who passed away in 2012. You know, I've mentioned him before about in my life and when it comes to Louisville Cardinal fan and things like that. But he was a Kurt Angle fan when we grew up being wrestlers, and that was like his wrestler. So I was The Rock, Kurt Angle. A friend of mine was Triple H, another friend was Stone Cold. So we always like do this. We were pretending we were the guys when we were wrestle after we watched them Raw and beat each other up. But so every time I see Kurt Angle, sometimes you know think about that time frame. I always think about him, you know, having the medals as a joke, you know, buying the little fake medals at Kroger or whatever, and
right.
Wearing them. It was pretty funny. But you know, one of the things cool when he did pass away is his widowed wife gave me his Kurt Angle figures that was never opened. And so I have those put up, and my daughter was like, can we open those and play with them? I was like, nope. You can't open them and play with them. I would love to. Actually, Kurt Angle is coming to Louisville in September for the Day of the Dead festival. And I'm going to go there regardless of meeting, but I think I'm going to try to get him to sign that.
Oh, you got to.
Yeah, I mean, there's other things I could get him to sign, but I think I'm going to have him sign that, which was, the figure is like a Jax figure from 1999, but still, it's special because it was my friend Zach's, and,
right.
You know, I can always say, hey, I got it signed. You know, I'll probably say, have him say to Zach, just to, you know, to do that, you know, why not, you know?
That'd be awesome.
Yeah. Anyways, that's always Kurt Angle always has a special moment to me like that because I always think about Zach being his fan and that too. So, started to get sappy on you all. You know,
it's all good, brother.
All right, what about your favorite Kurt Angle feuds? I know matches we talk about or whatever in some of the moments, but feud wise, when you think about this whole, you know, what do you have as your favorite?
Probably him and AJ.
Okay. And TNA?
Yeah. They had, but I mean, AJ's a phenomenal wrestler. Kurt's a phenomenal wrestler. That was inevitable for that to be a great feud.
Yeah.
I would say Kurt Angle versus Chris Benoit.
Yeah.
Just two technical wrestlers about who was the best. Nothing more, nothing less. You said it last week about overexposure sometimes being the bane of your existence in wrestling.
Yeah.
I feel like sometimes less is more, you know. If it's just two wrestlers trying to prove who's the best, it tells a good story regardless.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm going to say mine would probably – I mean, if it's not Chris Benoit and it's not Shawn Michaels, if we're trying to be different, I'll have something different. Then I'm gonna go with John Cena, because the matches they had and everything, it you had a young talent. You know what? No, take that back. I'll go with that, but I'm gonna do another honorable mention. You had a great talent coming up, and you had somebody that was way over and way, you know, one of the best in the business. He was able to rub off him. And I think that literally, and John Cena said this in the Hall of Fame induction speech, is that he, you know, without Kurt Angle, John Cena would have took John Cena longer to get where he's at. John Cena has a work ethic to get him where he's at, anyways. But I think have rub like from Kurt Angle helped him along the way for sure. So that few, but honorable mention would have to be the Brock Lesnar too.
Yeah, that was a good one
because what's funny. Is that in an actual shoot fight, Kurt Angle really beat him. But if you ask Kurt Angle, he laughs it off. He goes, I got lucky and got one on him, got the point on him for whatever he names how he did it. But he won't put it over. Like, you know, he's not cocky enough where he's like,
right.
I beat him. You know, he's like, no, I mean, it was a shoot fight, and I got lucky because I got the point over here, and that's how I won. But he's kind of... And I think he's like that in just overall life. Like he was like that in the Olympics. Yeah, I got this point. I got this point or that. That's how I won. That's how I beat him or whatever. But that feud though, you saw it. You knew it was going to happen. Now the only thing that's crazy. I look back at that match, is that you know, I've seen Brock Lesnar do the shooting star press a million times here in Louisville. He nailed it. But in WWE, he never did it. So he did it. It was his finishing move in OVW. So he does this move and he just hits it wrong and practically breaks his neck from it and probably could have paralyzed him. But that's the only downfall about that whole match. Other than that, the match would have been great. It was in effect that Kurt Angle also had a broken neck. But, you know.
Broken freaking neck.
Yeah. Always had a broken freaking neck.
Got it, JK.
All right. So before we wrap up, like I said, it's a shorter episode than normal. Who would we like to see Kurt Angle?
Who is somebody that we wish that we could have seen him wrestle against?
Yes.
For me, I think that the choice is easy. I think it's Dolph Ziggler.
Okay.
I think they could have put on a 10-star match with each other.
But that still could technically happen, right?
It could, but we're talking about people he's never wrestled, not people. I mean, so I'm sorry.
Okay.
Kurt Angle versus Jinder Mahal. That's the one I want to see.
Okay. Go ahead. I'm sorry. You're right. I jumped the gun. You're right.
I know. You like to fire off early all the time. Giggity. But that's who I'd like to see. That's who I'd like to see that matchup. Or, you know, because I already know. I think your shirt speaks for who you would pick. They can't see your shirt.
Nope.
You're not picking them?
Nope. I got a different person.
You're picking them, right?
Nope.
Okay, then my honorable mention's got to be CM Punk.
Okay.
Because that guy could, one of the best, just all around, could do it all wrestlers that's ever been born. So I'm just shocked at the moment. I figured you'd pick the cult of personality.
No.
So,
all right. He might take my pick, but that's okay.
You might as well hurry up and go ahead and say yours.
Should I go next then?
I defer the option to you.
Okay. Yeah.
Owen Hart.
Oh, that's a good one.
We'll never get to see that.
I was going to say Andre the Giant myself, but Owen Hart's a good pick.
No, because
he's not a nugget.
He's not a nugget. But think about how great Owen was in the ring, and Owen having, and we almost saw it. It would have. I think that if just a few months, I mean, if the tragedy didn't happen, we would have had that feud in that match, and it would have been that would have been. We would talk about that being our favorite match of Kurt Angle.
More than likely, yeah.
I just in my head, I'm just thinking about the possibilities of what they could have done. Yeah, that I wish we could see that. I'm sure a lot of people do. I mean, Owen was a great guy, but I just wish that we could have got that feud as a fan. Yeah.
All right, JK, let's hear it. Drum roll.
All right, I've got a bold take for this one.
You're going Lucha Underground, aren't you?
Nope.
Okay, I thought you were going to say Prince Puma.
Kurt Angle versus the Iron Sheik.
Oh, that is different.
Well, it is the Great American Hero versus, you know, the Iron Sheik.
I was going to say Nikolai Volkov, but Iron Sheik's not.
Iron Sheik was also an Olympic wrestler for the country of Iran.
Yeah?
You can very easily build an America versus Iran gimmick between two identical mat-based wrestlers with Sheik and Angle. I feel like they could have also done that with Muhammad Hassan in the brief time he was there.
I mean, that definitely is a better America versus the world gimmick than they got going on right now.
Right. That's why we pay him the big bucks. You know what? After tonight, your salary's tripled. Great job.
Just quadruple it. Why not?
So now you're the Oprah of the show? Go ahead. You know what? 10 times your normal salary. Sure. Always trying to outdo me. all great picks.
I wanted to try and pick somebody that was going to be way off the beaten path.
Yeah.
And that was.
The only one that an honorable mention you did honorable would have been Owen's brother, Brett. And that would be another honorable. And I think, you know, that would.
Yeah, they didn't.
No. And, yeah, that would have been another honorable mention, which, you know, it could have done a thing if Brett didn't have the. You know, they have to retire earlier than he wanted to. I think that could have eventually happened as well.
Think about it, the screw job never happened either.
Yeah.
You could have had it in 99, late Brett's career, who was still serviceable at that point.
Oh, yeah. Well, if the screw job never happened, then Brett never gets, you know, concussion by Goldberg or whatever. So, I mean, yeah, I mean, it's definitely there's a lot of – I mean, we could even go as far as – there's probably people – I'm even thinking of in the in the Attitude Era too, we're missing out on that could have had a good stuff with. I mean, did Kurt Angle and Edge or Kurt Angle and Christian fought, didn't they?
I'm sorry.
I'm certain they have.
Yeah, I know they. I'm pretty sure they did in TNA. Had a match or feud or something.
Kurt Angle and Ricochet. Let's go off the beaten path a little bit. Ricochet would have been a great one. Bobby Fish and Kurt Angle, they would do great things.
Kenny Omega.
I think Angle and Okada have wrestled before. So,
yeah.
You want to go all the way back.
Shinsuke Nakamura. I know you don't like him, but he could have had.
He's wrestled either Nakamura or Okada before. But
then
on the indies.
If he has, then it's probably been Nakamura.
Okay.
Yeah.
Let's go.
I can find out.
Okay, you go ahead and do that while I do what I do best, which is talk.
My two honorable mentions.
Here, you go ahead, JK. Since
from the past,
I was done.
I would say Ricky Steamboat as one of them. And then second, because I have to pick somebody.
King Kong Bundy?
Current for checks and balances, I would have to say Kevin Owens.
Oh, yeah.
And I think that feud is very easy to build from day one.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a good one. And they kind of started a little bit on Raw when he came on as GM before they kind of had a little something there. I think they might have been testing the waters on that one.
I just was certain you were going to go Kurt Angle versus Rob Terry for some reason.
Mm. Honestly, and this is just me talking, you could somehow build a way for a heel Kurt Angle to face Kevin Owens. There's a very easy
intriguing
possibility to do that.
Yeah, I mean, that would be... that could happen, for sure.
I'll save that for a how I would book that
okay.
down the road.
I'm just not sure. Again, we'll probably say this for a different episode as well, but I'm not sure you could ever turn Kevin Owens' face. He's just too good at being a jerk. I followed him his entire career. He's just so dang good at being so dang bad.
And by the way, he did wrestle Shinsuke Nakamura at the Tokyo Dome.
Okay.
Yeah, it was an IWGP, I think, right?
Title, yeah. He lost the title to the
He fought Brock Lesnar there as well.
Yeah, he did.
I knew it was one of the two. I just wasn't certain which one it was.
So. That was when he took a break from when he left TNA, but he was kind of there, but he was doing other stuff and then go back. Now, do you remember, by the way, who Kurt Angle's last match has been against?
Cody Rhodes?
Yeah, it was. Cody Rhodes. Yeah.
Yeah, because I watched the other stuff.
It was, that was actually my pipe bomb. I did my pipe bomb on that, on finishes on that match, but because it was a great match, but too many false finishes. But it was back in March 3rd of this year, in a steel cage, and he did a perfect moonsault.
The last one he may ever do.
No.
Well,
last moonsault.
Oh, moonsault from yeah.
Because I doubt WWE froze him back in a steel cage again.
No, yeah, probably. Yeah, you're probably right. It's probably the last moonsault on
the
steel cage.
We are in agreement that we see him at SummerSlam Wrestling, correct?
Yeah, do you want to say who he's?
I said he would come at Survivor Series, but at this point, I would not be surprised if it's SummerSlam.
SummerSlam, and we all pretty much know who his opponent is.
I think we think it's Triple H.
Triple H, yeah. And I hope he has a WrestleMania match against someone different at that point. But not a Shane McMahon. I'm talking
Sting.
Braun.
Oh, my God. I would not want to see Kurt Angle versus Braun Strowman. Can you imagine that angle slam, though, if you could get him
Seth
up?
Seth Rollins versus Kurt Angle. That's another one. Oh, that would be a good one. That'd be a good one. Yeah, but let's go to our predictions of what we think is going to happen with this. Just to get them out there, I think that, it's going to end up being a relationship with Stephanie. But I think in the long run, Stephanie's planning to get back on the track and try to become the general manager or get under his whatever. And then it's going to call him the feud, and then that's when he's going to fight Triple H or whatever. So that's what I think. Or he's going to start to fight Triple H, but then Stephanie turns on him at SummerSlam or something like that. Stephanie's faking it the whole time, basically. So that's kind of my prediction of this.
I agree.
You actually agree?
That's all. That's it. I agree.
Oh, okay.
I don't see any other way to this.
I mean, there's one other person.
There's one other person could be, and I would love for it to be. Let's just throw it out there. I would love for the WWE to pull a shockered moment like when they brought Eric Bischoff on as general manager of Raw. I would love to see Dixie Carter show up and be his love interest or whatever they got going on. And be
but
the
how
person.
Does that build towards a match? And it does, so that's why we think for certain it's Stephanie.
Well, then he's not going to have a match. It'd just be something different.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, we all said, you know, hell will freeze over before Dixie Carter's on WWE television. And lo and behold, we've seen her here recently. So,
and they are in Nashville next Monday. And that's where she lives.
Well, you mean last Monday?
Yeah, it's true. Yeah, yeah.
So, y'all already know. Again, we preface this. Y'all know what happened. We don't know what happened, but you know.
That's our prediction. We just want to get them out there just to see if we're right.
See if we can tell the future.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because then we're going to play the lottery and win it next, if we were correct.
Hey, if we were correct, yeah, we're definitely playing the lottery.
And if we're wrong, you can deliver the Twitter thumbs to us, but we'll throw them back twice as hard.
Absolutely.
That is true.
By the way, follow Kurt Angle on Twitter at TheRealKurtAngle. He always tweets out good stuff. He's got a great thing going on in his life. We talked about his career, whatever, but his personal life, he went through some addictions and some issues that he's been clean and sober for many, many months, and I think a couple of years now, actually. And he has a thing called Angle Strong. It's an organization where he helps with addiction and gets people in good rehab centers and good accountability. It's a great, great organization, a great, great thing he does. We shout out to Kurt Angle for doing that and helping save the world. You know, as we talked about before last week, Stephanie McMahon's tweet, lives help save lives, and that's what it's all about, is saving lives. And so we appreciate that, Kurt, for what you're doing in the community and on all in Pittsburgh and other areas too as well.
And not just for humanitarian purposes, right, as well. There was an episode of Extreme Makeover Home Edition that I remember about 6 or 7 years ago, and the house was built right here in Louisville, Kentucky. My stepdad helped work on this house, actually, and it was for a wrestling family. I don't know who it was, but their kids were on the St. X wrestling team. All of them won a couple state championships, and Kurt Angle actually went out to their house oversaw the construction of the house. The house had a couple of wrestling mats built in their garage. Kurt Angle's also met my cousin at a TNA house show when they were in Shepherdsville about 10 years ago. So, of course, I've said it on record multiple times. My cousin's a pro wrestler, but he told him that day that my cousin wanted to be a pro wrestler. And Kurt Angle kind of said, I'll give you 5 years before I retire so we can book the match. So, Kurt Angle, if you want that match, Eddie's a wrestler now, the challenge has been thrown.
All right, there we go. It's out there.
We'll make sure we get it to him. You know, we know some people.
All right, guys. So thanks, everyone, for listening and tuning in this week. Once again, you can find us all on all the areas that play podcasts, Apple Podcasts, Stitcher Radio, Google Play, TuneIn Radio, and now we're on Spotify. So you can check us out there as well. On the social media, you can find us on the Twitter, the Instagram, and the Facebook at Ringside Podcast. And individually on Twitter, I'm at Daniel Spencer.
At Jeremy_CSC.
At KrugerMania.
All right. And as always, in the meantime and in between time,
until next time, you've been ringside.
See ya.
Drama strength, ain't nobody man enough to feel the pain. And you could be next, you better give respect. 'Cause